There you go.
All right, so I just want to briefly introduce Rabbi Gordon Schwartz. I won't say now what I said in my email because it'll embarrass him, but you saw what I wrote, and this is someone that you're going to be hearing a lot about in the future years if you haven't heard a lot about him already. So it's really a zechus to have him here, and I've had the opportunity to hear many shiurim from him over the years and enjoy them immensely. So I'm really very happy and glad that Rodenzweig and you know, was able to arrange for him to come and speak to us. So thank you for coming. And we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for, and first of all, I want to thank Rabbi Rosenzweig, Rabbi Rosenzweig, and Avram for inviting me to give the shiur, and it's a real honor and privilege. I'd respond to your very kind words, but I only have 45 minutes, and I may need all of them, so I'm just going to get going. So the topic that we'll be discussing today is Matzah Shel Isser. This is a topic which comes up in the end of, towards the end of the next parak in the Mishnah, which serves as our point of departure. The Mishnah there raises the question, discusses the issue rather, of what kind of grains can be used to for the purpose of making matzah. What does it need to be made of? So the Mishnah starts out by listing the different kinds of species, the chamishis minyei dagan, chitim, saorim, kosmin, etc. But then it turns to discuss what you cannot use for mitzvahs matzah. And it says, avalo b'tevel, this is source number one, lo b'tevel, lo b'maisa rishon, shalot nitla chumasa, lo b'maisa sheni, v'hekesh shalot. So you can't make matzah out of the grains that are basically subject to various isuri achila, whether that's mishum tevel or mishum, kachim. One way or the other, these are asur b'achila, and therefore you can't use it for matzah. So the Gemara, at source number two, immediately addresses the question of the source and the basis of this halacha. After all, these things are matzah. So if the mitzvah is to be ochal matzah, why can't you be yotze the mitzvah in this situation? Why aren't you yotze the mitzvah? Again, the question here is not, should you do this lechachila? You shouldn't, because it's an iser. But the question is, if somebody were to eat matzah shel tevel, so hasn't he eaten matzah, why wouldn't this be sufficient as a kiyum mitzvahs matzah? So the Gemara addresses that question, and it cites basically a brisa. I'm not going to be able to go inside much of these things. I told Avram I cut out a lot of the content, but I'm also going to have to probably just summarize outside much of the chorus, and we'll sort of play by ear. But the Gemara says that Tanu Rabbanan, that the rabbis addressed this question. What's the reason that Eino Yotzei Dechavaso B'matzah Shel Tevel? So it actually says that there's a drasha for this purpose. We would have thought that you could, in fact, we would have thought you could, in fact, be yotze your mitzvah's matzah with matzah shel tevel. However, we have a pasuk. We darshan the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, in source number three, lo sochal av chamei yeshivas yamim tochal av matzos lechem oni. So the Gemara basically understands that this drasha teaches us that the only grain that can be used to make matzah for the purpose of the mitzvah is grain which is capable of becoming subject to iser chametz. Says the Gemara, right? Yachol, you'd say Adam, yotzei Adam yideich vaso tevel. Tamalama lo sochal av chametz, misha isur mishum matoch alav chametz. So that which is usur mishum chametz, yatzah zeh she'ein isur mishum batoch chametz, ela mishum batoch al tevel. Gemara says that the reason that you can't use grain from tevel or from any of these things is because the grain needs to be subject to iser chametz. It needs to be capable of being asur mishum chametz, and matzah shel tevel, and the grain that you're using here was not subject to being able to be asur mishum chametz because it was already asur mishum tevel. So Gemara asks the obvious question: well, what happened to the iser chametz? Why can't it be subject to iser chametz as well? And the Gemara's answer, right? Lehichan azla the iser chametz. So the Gemara's answer is to tell us that this is that the author of this Mishnah is a Rav Shimon. I'm a Rav Sheshes Hamani or Rav Shimon he, and it quotes the sheet of Rav Shimon, the ein iser chalal iser. So again, I'll go through this outside. The concept that ein iser chalal iser, that something that once something has been forbidden under one shein, one lav, then a second iser wouldn't devolve upon it. The Gemara discusses this in the context of, in terms of the nafkamina of onshin, would you be lokia or would you be chayav more than once for the single chaticha di surah? So the issue of Einus HaChalisa, the Gemara cites that this is a Rishon who holds Einus HaChalisa. Just to clarify, on some level, everybody agrees that Einus HaChalisa, that once something has been Aser Mishum, shame X, it can't then become Aser. You wouldn't also have an Iser devolve upon it Mishum Y. The question that is the subject of Machlokas Rishon and Chachamim is, what are the exceptions? What exceptions do we admit to this klal? And in particular, Rabbanan believe that there are exceptions called Isser Mosif and Isser Kolo. But basically, I'm not going to distinguish between them. Basically, the two of them both relate to cases where the second Isser is more expansive in some way in terms of its scope than the initial Isser, whether that's in terms of what is subject to becoming Usser, what does that second prohibition forbid? If it forbids something which encompasses the first, but it goes beyond it, so that's called an Isser Kolo, then the Rabbanim believe in that situation, the second Isser will be Chal. Isser Kolo is Chal al Isser. Or if it's Isser Mosif, where basically just one classic example of Isser Mosif is where there are more people to whom this second thing is, for the second Isser, the second shame prohibits. So in both of those cases, these are exceptions. Isser Chal al Isser, Bekolo al Mosif. That's as opposed to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that even in such cases, Einus HaChal al Isser. Einus HaChal al Isser, those are the Gemara sites here, Einus HaChal al Isser, what that means is Einus HaChal al Isser afilu b'kol al mosif, even in such a situation where you have the second Isser is more expansive, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion in that situation too, that Einus HaChal al Isser. So the Gemara presents that this opinion is authored by Rabbi Shimon, because Chametz is to be understood, Chametz vis-a-vis Tevel is in Isser Mosif, or in Isser Kol or both. It's clearly an Isser Kolal. After all, the Isser Chametz asers not only grain, which is Tevel, but even grain from which there's already been Hafrasha. It's also, the Ramban argues, is also Mosif. All right, we don't have to get into that. The point is that it's Isser Kolal or Isser Mosif for both. So therefore, when the Gemara says, and therefore, when we say that this drasha, that Losachal Chametz, it's something that which is Aser Mishum Chametz, Yatzazesh, Ein Isser Mishum Chametz, that which is not Aser Mishum Chametz, but only Aser Mishum Tevel, also must be of the opinion that holds that even in such situations, in Isser Chal Isser, that's Rabbi Shimon. I'll just note, not without getting into, that it's a question to be asked, a basic question to be asked regarding this din of Ein Isser Chal Isser. So I mentioned that the Nafkamina the Gemara discusses is in terms of Onshim, but that raises the question of what that means, Ein Isser Chal Isser. Do we say that the second Isser really isn't Chal at all? That this person who, let's say, eats he eats the tevel, the matzah shel tevel, so or the chametz shel tevel, so he doesn't violate Isser Chametz at all, or do we say that no, he would violate, but the machlokas is just, you hold in Isser Chal Isser in this situation, that would mean that you don't get two onshim. The simple reading of our Gemara works better with the understanding, with the perspective that Ein Isser Chal Isser means it's not Isser at all. And then you would say, really, this grain, shel tevel, really isn't Aser Mishum Chametz. You don't violate Chametz for eating it. I think for the other perspective, you would have to refine a little bit and adjust a little bit what the drasha here is. It's not that you don't violate Aser Chametz. It's that you don't. It's not Aser to the extent that you could actually be subject to being punished for it. You need to know the drasha here would be, you need to be able to be punished Mishum Aser Chametz. And Yatzazeh, with fear of Rishimun holds in this situation, Ein Isser Chal Isser, Yatzazeh, that it's not, it's only Aser Mishum Batal Chametz, I mean, it's only subject to punishment, Mishum Batal Chotevel, not Mishum Batal Chametz. Okay, either way, that's what the Gemara suggests. And then the Gemara presents an alternative, Ravina, who suggests a slight adjustment of this Mishnah in order to bring it in line with the Shita of the Rabbanan, Derbi Shimon, who holds that Isser Chal Isser B'Kol HaMosif. Basically, what he suggests is that maybe we just read the drush a little differently. It's not Mishu Isser Mishum Batal Chametz that is able to be made into matzah. It's Misha Isser Mishum Batal Chametz Belvai. The grain has to be capable of being Usser exclusively Mishum Chametz. It has to be capable of becoming Usser Mishum Chametz alone, with no other Isser. And even Lefi Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon that hold it, Isser Chal Isser in such situations, but it's still being Chal in addition. So you have an Isser Chametz and Tevel. But the drasha here is that you need to be subject to the exclusive Isser Chametz, which is not the case when it's made from Tevel. And therefore, even with Das Rabbanan Derbi Shimon, you wouldn't be able to use Matzah Shel Tevel. the Gemara ends up saying that that's perhaps a nice suggestion, but it doesn't work with the actual text, with the actual language of the drasha. Midi bilvad, see, does it say bilvad? It doesn't say that it has to be subject to Isser Chametz alone, exclusive. It says it just needs to be subject to Isser Chametz, and therefore it doesn't make sense to reread it like you are a Bina. And Gemara ends up concluding Ela Mechparta to the Rav Sheshes. The Gemara ends up saying that this opinion really, the preferred reading of the Mishnah really is like Rav Sheshes, who establishes the Mishnah in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, if we take the Gemara Kifshuto, so l'chora what emerges is that this Mishnah in the end turns out to be Shalok Halach, because we paskin in the context of the topic of Enis Chal Isser, and we paskin that Isser Chal Isser b'kola Mosa. We paskin like Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon, as opposed to the Shitas Rabbi Shimon, according to which, according to the Rabbanan, you have an Isser Chametz be able to be Chal on this Tevel, and therefore there should be no reason to exclude it, and therefore you should be able to be used for Matzah. And in fact, the Ramban, again, I don't have time to go inside it here, but the Ramban in source number 4 suggests that that's actually what is true. That's what emerges. He says, nearly the Yotzim B'Tevel, because according to the Gemara, this Mishnah specifically L'shitas Rabbi Shimon that in Yisrachal Yisr Afil B'Kol Amosif, which is not how we paskin, and therefore there's actually L'Halacha, no problem, says the Ramban initially. There's no problem with being Yotze Matzah Shel Tevel, or say differently, you are Yotze if you eat Matzah Shel Tevel. The Meiri was reluctant to assume that this was possible. He was reluctant to assume that we could just consign this Mishnah, which is, after all, a Mishnah Stam, doesn't say, it doesn't report a Machlokas. It's not clear that there's any other Mishnah that are Cholik on it. So I think Meiri is probably reluctant to just simply say, and he says so, that this Mishnah is Shel Kalacha. So he says, well, this Mishnah is Kalacha. What's the basis for it? Suggests the Meiri that maybe in the end, the real basis for it is what Ravina suggests, this alternative reading that the Drasha, this local Pasuk, is understood as excluding situations of Chametz where it's not capable of becoming exclusively us or Mishim Chametz. The Gemara itself says that that's not really what the Drasha says. It says Mechavarti Gedrashesha. So the Meiri says that's only in terms of, if we just sort of see it internally, textually, it's not the smoothest reading. But given that it actually comports with halacha, in that we pass them like Rabbanan and Rishon, that's actually the preferred reading. And in the end, that's the basis, that is the reason we do pass in this Mishnah of Ein Yotzin B'Matzah Shel Tevel, because it's not capable of being only us or Mishum Chametz. All right, the issue that the Rishonim here raise, which is going to be the next focus, one of the primary focus of the Shir, is a principle that doesn't emerge in the Gemara, that Gemara doesn't mention. That is the principle of mitzvah haba be'aveir. This principle is introduced in the Gemara in Sukkah and Parag Lulav HaGazel. The Mishnah there states that lulav HaGazel is possible. You cannot use, if somebody were to use a lulav which they've stolen, so the Mishnah, the Gemara there says, that's possible. They can't, you're not Yotze. That doesn't work for L'katam L'chem, Yom Rishon. You need to take another lulav. So the Gemara, Alatar, notes that the Mishnah states this without equivocation, without qualification. It sounds like this is a halach. This is just the din for the entirety of the chag. Bein yontov rishon, bein yontov sheni. In the context of the Gemara there, yontov sheni means the entire 7 days of the chag. Whether that's even the 7 days d'oraisa mitzvah of lulav b'mikdash, or specifically, as some rishonim have it, the tekanos of Yochanan Zakkai. But either way, it's not limited to the mitzvah lulav that applies with kulin b'yom rishon. It's always possible. Lulav HaGazel is always possible. So Gemara questions this because the Gemara's assumption is that the din of lachem b'yom rishon, lachem mishal lachem, that require bailus over the dalad minim, that's something which in the pasuk itself, we limit that to yom rishon. Lachem lachem b'yom rishon. So therefore, we understand very well why a lulav HaGazel is not capable, you're not able to be yotze with a lulav HaGazel, but Pesach, because, I'm sorry, on the first day of the Chag, because L'chatam L'chem. But that's only Yom Rishon. Why should the Mishnah assume that this is a psul, what's the basis for the psul for the entirety of the Chag? So the Mishnah here introduces, the Gemara here introduces, that the principle, the reason for it is, Mishub Dehavale Mitzvah Haba Be'Aveira. Shenemar, right, this is a mitzvah which is, let's just say, accomplished via an Aveira, and that's no good, that doesn't work. And the Gemara quotes a couple of psukim in Nach that reflect this point, this principle, including the pasuk Malachi, "Vabesim gazel v'sikseach v'tzachole." right? You can't, you bring a korban that's guzzled. This is something that Baruch Hu is going to accept. Or the other pasuk that's cited there, right, from Yeshaya, and Yeshem Mohev Mishpat, so ne gezel be'ola, right? Akash Baruch Hu hates gezel when you bring it be'ola. So the Gemara says we have this point, we have this principle that you can't do a mitzvah via an avera. That's known as mitzvah by avera, and it's puzzle. It doesn't work. So the Rishonim ask in Sukkah, Tosas in Sukkah Altar, ask the question. Okay, so if that's the case, that we have this principle of mitzvah by avera, so why does the Gemara in Pesachim, why does our Gemara have to find, have to search and seek a local drasha, which we may or may not even accept as applicable to halacha? Why do we need to be looking to the pasuk of Losach Halachamim Misha? So why do we need all that? Just darshan. We have, forget the drasha. We have a principle mitzvah baba there as pasuk. This is the question they asked. Tema Perikol Shah. This is source number 8. The Tani Einot Zei Dematzah B'Tevav Darshalei Mikra. You find this logo pasuk. Take Baglei Mishu Mitzvah baba Avera. The Kal Afyo Sura V'Nafik Dematzah. What you're doing there is in Avera, you're eating matzah shel tevel. You're being over on the Yisur of tevel and being Yotzei the mitzvah via that act. So shouldn't we say in that situation, wouldn't we say that's a mitzvah haba be'avera, and therefore should be puzzled just based on this general principle? Why does the Gemara assume that this isn't so? Why does the Gemara give this answer? So that's a question that the Rishonim grapple with. And here there are different answers that are suggested. I'll only go through a couple of major ones. One answer, one direction we find cited in the name of the Tosfos by Chachmai Sfarad, the Talmid and the Ramban, we've been zocha to find some of this in the original Tosos themselves. It doesn't appear in the Tosos in the printed daf. It appears, though, in Tosos Shantz, Tosos Rebbeinu Peretz versions of this. They're cited as suggesting that the reason it's not, that the reason Mitzvah Baba Vera isn't cited as the basis for the psul is because we've kind of misunderstood Mitzvah Baba Vera. Mitzvah Baba Vera is not a general call regarding mitzvahs kechal, that a Mitzvah Baba Vera isn't kasher. It's a very specific, narrow din regarding a very specific, narrow category of mitzvos, which really is almost, if not exclusively, but most exemplified by the din of by the mitzvah of korban. And here the Rabbeinu David in source number 9 explains, Tosos of Lomachin, Elisha ain't din mitzvah of Avera, El the Indian korban, Kenan Chakasuf, Sone Gezel, Ba'ola. Rabbeinu David suggests that in the name of the Tosos, that this is something which is unique essentially to korban. Like it says, Sone Gezel Ba'olah, he notes the Pasuk speaks of Korban. And the idea is, She'en Kategor Na'aseh Sanegor. That you can't have that which accuses you serve as your advocate as well. En Kategor Na'aseh Sanegor. And the idea, I take it, is that where what's commanded, in the case of Akrava, of Korban, what's commanded is not simply an act of bringing a slaughtered animal to the Mikdash, but rather, if you might say it this way, it's not just the act, but the effect. A particular fact, namely, the korban is functioning to receive the Rabbanu Shalom, to gain the Rabbanu Shalom's acceptance. The pasuk, when it speaks of a korban that is kosher, that serves its purpose, that functions properly, the pasuk speaks of it as v'nirtzalo, it should be accepted for him on his behalf, l'chaper lav, such that he would then receive kaparet, mechaper for it. A korban, the mitzvah of korban, is to be meratze, is to bring a korban as a means of being meratze, such that you can get kapara. So the Torah explains, for instance, various. In that vein, the Torah, when it speaks of various psulim, will also say that the korban isn't kosher. The language it uses is lo yiratzev, mumbam lo yiratzev. It doesn't find the Rosh Hashanah's acceptance. He doesn't get acceptance. Pigul ye lo yiratzev. For a korban to function properly, the mitzvah, to be achieved the mitzvah, is to be meratzev, is to gain the Rosh Hashanah's acceptance, to find his favor, such that in the case of korban, you're mechaper. So where the normative element of the mitzvah is to achieve acceptance, to find the Baruch Shalom favor, en kategor na'aseh sanegor. In that situation, where it's not just the ma'aseh mitzvah involving yachetza, but rather the chetza is there to bring about the Baruch Shalom's favor, so that doesn't work if you bring as your kategor, as your sanegor, a chetza shel aveira. In that situation, that won't work. That's not effective. You haven't achieved the mitzvah. The mitzvah you did, the mitzvah of bringing an animal, but it wasn't an animal which is functioning as a korban, as being meratzeh, right? That which damns you can also advocate for you. And in that situation, it's possible. So that's a very unique kind of idea. It's applicable to mitzvahs, to korban. And here there's a significant chiddush, because after all, you can't deny. The Gemara says, on this view, the initial view of saying the Gemara, at least, that this is applied to lulav too. And here the Rishonim, the Tosfos has this enormous chiddush that lulav is also king korban. It's a huge chiddush, but then on lulav kedin korban, sh'afu balaratzo so king korbanu. It's somewhat puzzling, but I think undoubtedly this has to do with source number 10, the Gemara in Tainus. I don't want to get into it now. If we're learning Sukkah, or if we're near Sukkah, we could discuss this. But the Gemara in Tainus there actually mentions the concept of Ritzoy Legabe Dalad Minim. The Ritva doesn't say, as far as I know, none of the Rishonim actually say explicitly what they mean by it's being Ritzoy, but I think there's no question this is what they have in mind. The Mishnah, the Gemara in Tainus, in discussing when it is that we say, Mashiva Ruach, Meimasai Maskirin Al Gishamim. So the Gemara presents two opinions. One opinion, which is what we paskin, Mishas Hanachas Alulav, Mishas Hanachas Dalad Minim, at the end of Sukkot. The other opinion, though, is Rabbi Eliezer, Mishas Natilas Alulav, from the beginning of Sukkot, when you take the Lulav. Why? What's the connection? So the Gemara explains, Hoel Arbas, meaning Alalu, Ein Bain El, Laratus Alamayim, that these Dalad Minim are meant to serve Laratus Alamayim to be essentially implements of tefillah, of finding the Baruch Shalom's acceptance to sort of escort our tefillahs to the Baruch Shalom as we sit at the precipice of, you know, of the year, we're planting as the new year comes. We need, of course, the Baruch Shalom's bracha, we need the Gishamim. So the Chazal understand, they identify this theme here of Mitzvah Lulav as essentially being implements for tefillah, of Ritzoy Alamayim. Why these minimars will serve this purpose? The Gemara explains, these are minim that are particularly dependent upon Gishamim. So therefore it serves as a proper fulcrum for the tefillah. Now here you could have taken this Gemara as sort of quasi-agadic, and I think that's what many do. But it emerges from the Tosfos, at least, as cited by these Rishonim, that the Tosfos really took it very, very seriously. Actually, they view that as stating a normative element of the mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't simply to be notel, but rather to be mispalel with them, to be meratza with these. So that they have a huge chiddush here that this is true, this is something that extends to lulav too. However, says the Rinadavit, that being the case, that it's unique, it really applies basically to korban and that which, huge chiddush, but that which is also understood to function like a korban. That's where you have the din of mitzvah abav avera. But generally speaking, it is not posel. Abav b'shar ha-mitzvah, says Ibn David back on source number 9, lo matzana b'tamad din mitzvah abav avera, b'zeu shehu tzrachu l'inim matzah. And that's why when it comes to the question of matzah shel tevel, why doesn't the Gemara just simply say mitzvah abav avera? That's because there is no such din, universally speaking, of mitzvah abav avera. B'zeu shehu tzrachu l'inim matzah l'inim tzukah l'havi l'am psalm minach machah. So the reason that the Gemara doesn't cite mitzvah abav avera is because it's not the right mitzvah. It's a very unique set of mitzvahs that are that you would find where you would find mitzvah avera, and matzah isn't one of those, like the vast majority of them. And for that reason, you don't have mitzvah avera. That's one direction that you find in Rishon. And an alternative direction is to suggest not that the mitzvos that it applies to, mitzvah avera, are you know, very narrow and exclude mitzvahs matzah, but rather to suggest that even if it applies to matzah, but this isn't matzah shel tevel, does not entail the kind of relationship between the Avera and the Mitzvah that qualifies as a Mitzvah Haba B'Avera. This is not, in fact, a Mitzvah Haba B'Avera. It doesn't qualify as that kind of act. And this obviously gets into what is Mitzvah Haba B'Avera, but in this direction we find the Ramban, and we'll explain. The Ramban says, V'yeshli l'taretz she'em b'tevel din Mitzvah Haba B'Avera v'pnei she'biyad l'tak. He says, I'll tell you why there's no psul here of Mitzvah Haba B'Avera, because it isn't a Mitzvah Haba B'Avera in as much as biyad l'tak. You have the ability to be mafresh. I take it this is what he means, that you have the ability to be mafresh at any point. You could simply be mafresh, trumos, masros, from the grain, from the cooked product. And then as you're doing that, after you've done that, you'll be able to do it behesher. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah baba there. Why not? What does this mean? So I think there are actually two ways to take this, but in as much as I'm constrained here by the time limit, I'll only go through one of them. I think the most compelling take on this Ramban is to assume that the Ramban understands, adopts the position of the Tosfos in Sukkah, which we haven't discussed yet, but basically the question in terms of what is Mitzvah Baba Vera, so the standard view, and this is explicitly articulated by Tosfos in Sukkah, is that what Mitzvah Baba Vera means is a mitzvah that is Ba Machmas Ta'avera. Machmas Ta'avera Ba Mitzvah. you do the mitzvah via an avera. The avera was a means to the accomplishment of your mitzvah. That's what that means, as opposed to some other formulations that you find in a couple other shon. But here you have a question. When you say ba hamitzvah machmas avera, the mitzvah is done via the avera. So here you could wonder what precisely that means. And I would say that there are two directions you can go in. One could say that what it means when you say that the mitzvah is done via an avera is what you require is that the avera is necessary to enable you to accomplish the mitzvah. Without the avera, you are unable, you're not in a position to do the mitzvah. So for instance, with regard to lulav gezel, you have no lulav. The only way you get that lulav is if you do the avera of gezel. So therefore, in that situation, ba, a mitzvah machmas avera. Without gezel, without the avera shaba, you have no mitzvah. That's one way to take it. The alternative is to say, not necessarily that the avera is what enables you to do the mitzvah, but just simply that you did the mitzvah via an avera. But not that had you not done the avera what you did, you couldn't have done the mitzvah. Perhaps you could have done it b'li avera. The bottom line is what you accomplished, the act that you did to accomplish your mitzvah was an avera. The nafkamina would be in a situation where you do the act as an avera to accomplish a mitzvah, but you didn't need to. It didn't need to be b'avera. It could have easily been done without the avera. And perhaps this is what the Ramban here has in mind, that the reason there's no mitzvah b'avera, he takes the view that what it means, mitzvah ba machmas avera, that means that it's the avera that enables you to accomplish the mitzvah. You wouldn't be in a position, had you not done the avera, to do the mitzvah. And Ramban is saying that's not what you have here. You could have easily been mafresh the truma on the spot. You could have been motzi. You could have been separated out what you needed to separate out. And you would have been mitaki in the kri. You would have been mitaki in the matzah. You could have eaten it completely behechsher. In that situation, that's the avera that you do to accomplish mitzvah is completely incidental to the accomplishment of the mitzvah. The accomplishment of the mitzvah could have done just fine without the avera. So you happen to do it by avera. But in that situation, and it's not the avera that enables you to accomplish the mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah of avera. It's clear that the Tosfos, who are the ones that formulated this position of machmas avera by mitzvah, in Sukkah, it's clear that they took the other position. They view it as if you accomplish a mitzvah via an act, which is an avera, then that's all you need to be mitzvah of avera, because they're the ones that leave as bitzar pion on Tosos, on page number 8, Tosos Sukkah. That's the very end of that Tosos, Tema Perikosha. They leave as bitzar pion in this case of Matzah Shel Tevel. I'm presumably indicating that they don't like the Ramban's answer. They think that it's sufficient that you do a mitzvah via an avera, whether or not the avera itself was necessary for the accomplishment of the mitzvah. Either way, the Ramban seems to be, I would suggest, I'm going in the other direction, that mitzvah of avera has to be the avera is what enables you to accomplish the mitzvah. You don't have that here where you could have easily have been mafresh trumos and maasros and been able to be yotzei the mitzvah just the same. And therefore, you have no mitzvah of avera, you're done, you're good. So that's the second approach of Rishonim. We find the second direction we find in Rishonim. There are other ways to go in that direction in terms of other concepts, conceptions of mitzvah of avera, but I don't have time. And there are also other ways to interpret the Ramban, also I don't have time. But either way, there's a major nafkamina in terms of why it is that matzah shel tevel, matzah shel isur achila of tevel or other isur achila, it's not a mitzvah of avera. There'll be a major nafkamina in terms of matzah zula. If you think the reason that mitzvah of avera, that matzah shel tevel is not a mitzvah of avera, is because matzah is not the right mitzvah. It's a very unique, maybe set of two kinds of mitzvos or two mitzvos. But it's a very limited principle. It only applies to mitzvah shemitzoi. That's why there's no matzah shel tevel mitzvah of avera psul. If you think that's the reason, then matzah zula will equally not be a problem. You should be able to be yotzei, in fact, mitzvahs matzah, matzah zula, because it's also not a mitzvah of avera. It's not that kind of mitzvah. Whereas if you think that mitzvah of matzah shel tevel, the problem for matzah shel tevel, the reason it isn't a mitzvah of avera is only because the avera of tevel doesn't relate to the mitzvah in the way that's necessary to become a mitzvah above avera. It's not really ba'av the avera. So then matzah zula should be a problem because it's exactly the same relationship that we find in the case of lulav gezel. You stole something in order to fulfill your mitzvah. So that would be a mitzvah above the avera, just as lulav gezel would be. Yushami actually does quote, and seemingly based on the principle of mitzvah above avera, the psul of matzah zula. I remember Yochanan and Shimon and Tzadok, this is number 12, matzah zula in a yotei by yidech vasav pesach, seemingly because of mitzvah abba the avera. And exactly this point is what the Ritva mentions. The Ritva in Sukkah and Daf Tes quotes this Tosfos about Ritzvoy and says that it's inconsistent. It can disprove it based on the Yerushalmi. Right? The Yerushalmi says that matzah gzula is a problem, and according to Tosfos, it shouldn't be. Right? Here to Tosfos, the less lay mitzvah, etc. El b'davar apal ratzu korban mitzvula b'avlo b'sharam mitzvah. So less a nuchak Yerushalmi tzachim gavi matzah gzula. Okay, so the Yerushalmi, in fact, is a nafkamina. Presumably, Tosfos either rejects the Yerushalmi or maybe interprets it differently. Something which, if you have time, we can come back. So that's Adkan. Two views of why there's no mitzvah of there mentioned in the sikh. The final view I'll mention now is a suggestion of the Ramban that he in the end I think adopts, which is that the reason mitzvah of there isn't mentioned here is not because it doesn't apply. It applies. The reason it's not mentioned here has to do with the source and level of this mitzvah of the psul. The Ramban suggests in source number 14, Haikar Nirali Shemitzvah of there psul derban. He, like the Tosfos actually in Daf Tes in Sukkah, also suggests this. That the din mitzvah above there is actually only a din derabanan. It doesn't possible minatorah. Minatorah, you're yotze this mitzvah. It's only midirabanan that you have a problem. And this, says the Ramban, is the reason why the sugya is not looking, doesn't mention it, because the sugya is trying to establish the Mishnah on as fundamental level, on as primal level as possible, as a psul d'oraisa. Mitzvah above there doesn't possible d'oraisa. You be yotze, as far as mitzvah above there is concerned, with matzah shel isur achila. The Gemara wanted to try to see if we can establish this Mishnah as applying lahalacha minat, as applying midaraisa. For that purpose, it cites this drasha and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But in Chinami, this has it both answers that question, and also it in the end solves the problem of the Mishnah mishloach halacha. In Chinami, the Ramban says that lahalacha, given that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, in the end, this Mishnah is not shloach halacha; it's kehalacha. It's just that it's a derabanan, so me din mitzvah above there. And Achinami v'achshav, he says niskaim with divrei rabanan v'amchav from posma v'al v'tevel v'nomar mishum mitzvah above there. All right. So just to summarize, Adkan, what we have is on the one hand, basically, in terms of the when the dust settles, in terms of the din of matzah shel tevel, matzah shel isra achila. So we have three basic directions. The first in Rishonim, the first is that matzah shel tevel is pasul min haTorah. Based on a local drasha regarding matzah, this is the position of the Meiri, siding with Ravina's take on the drasha of the Gemara, that we're able to passel matzah shel because you need matzah which is from grain that can be subject to being usher exclusively mishum chametz, and this isn't that. So therefore, you're going to have a problem using it for matzah minatorah. Alternatively, we have the possibility that matzah shel is passel midurabanan midin mitzvah haba be'avera. This is the position of the Ramban. And then the third possibility is to say that matzah shel tevel is actually kosher. It actually is fine for the purpose of mitzvah matzah. There's no local din bin matzah which disqualifies it, because that's only something which applies, something only makes sense if you accept Rabbi Shimon, like Abi Yisrael Isser b'mosbukolo. And there's also no problem with mitzvah abav be'avera. And here we saw one of two reasons. Either A, because mitzvah abav be'avera doesn't apply to most mitzvahs, including matzah. That's attributed to mitzvahs. Or B, because eating matzah shel tevel doesn't qualify as a mitzvah haba'a be'avera. That's the one suggestion of the Ramban. You give one example. And we note a nafkamina to that is whether you'll be yotzei b'matzah zula if you take the first approach. The reason mitzvah be'avera doesn't apply to most mitzvahs, to matzah shel tevel, is because it only applies to very specific mitzvahs and not mitzvahs matzahs, then matzah zula will be fine as well. Whereas if you take the alternative approach that, let's say, it's based on the fact that it's not a mitzvah above be'avera, so then matzah gzula will be possibly a mitzvah above be'avera. Okay. But I want to focus the rest of my time on, this ends at what time again? 2:30? I think I got into my mind that I had till 2:35. Okay, we'll try to do it 2:30. What I want to focus the rest of my time is the Rambam's take on this. The Rambam's back here. And here the Rambam says in source number 15, "Ein od miyotze yidei chavasa b'achilas matzah shi asur lo kigon she'achla tevel amazer rishon shlo chumaso." So the Rambam paskins puzzle, no good, doesn't work. And then he says, "Zeh klal." Here gives you a rule called shemavarchan labirchas amazah niyotze b'yidei chavasa v'choshein mivarchan labirchas amazah in niyotze b'yidei chavasa. The rule is whatever you can recite a birchas amazah on, that works for mitzvah matzah, and whatever you don't, whatever you couldn't, doesn't. Here the Rambam is referencing his psak in Hilchos Brachos. Anytime one eats something which is forbidden to him, there's no bracha to be recited. You can't make a bracha rishona, you can't make a bracha achrona, no bracha whatsoever. on Muslim, which is Asur to you. It happens to be the Tzvachot Kusushonim. The Rambam got this from a Brisa cited in a couple of Gemaras, including the Brisa, including the Gemara of Akal and Sadi Dalit and Agozal, where the Gemara cites the name of Eliezer ben Yaakov, that if somebody were to steal a Sash al Chitin and grind it and knead it and bake it, so the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Ketzim Nevarich, how can you make a bracha on this? You couldn't make a bracha on this. Ketzim Nevarich, Eliminates. That's not a bracha, that's niyutz. Right, that's blasphemy. The idea being, the idea being that essentially this the idea of this halacha, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk, quote, "Say aveirich niyitz Hashem," that to bless Hashem over such things is to be menites. The idea being that to sort of express one's joyful thanks and praise over food that the Baruch Shalom explicitly forbids, to recite divrei shevach nada, to break out in song and dance upon an act that defies and violates his express will is essentially to taunt and mock the Baruch Shalom. Divrei Shevach Vada in that context borders on the blasphemous. Ein Zeh Mevarich Eliminat. So that's a din in Hilchos Brachos. So the Rambam says, you want to know what matzah is puzzle? Take a look at the din that I mentioned in Hilchos Brachos. Any matzah which would fall under that halacha that you can't make a bracha on also falls under this halacha that it isn't subject to mitzvah matzah. Now the major issue, of course, is what is the basis for the psul? Why is it pasul? Rambam notably doesn't say it, and that's a little bit surprising. It happens to be, just as a aside, even more puzzling on a textual level than what he doesn't say is what he does say. What is the reason that the Rambam sends us to Hilchos Brachos? What's the point of that? Is it just to tell us, you know, I've been a little bit more elaborate about what kinds of isurim, you know, what kinds of things are usur? If you want to know, just check out on the list in Hilchos Brachos. Why is he sending us there? It's very problematic, very surprising. You don't need me to tell you. You guys, you know, certainly don't need me to tell you that the Rambam was, you know, neither lazy nor careless. So what's he doing here? That's somewhat of a puzzle, but I'll leave that aside for now. And I just want to return to the question of the basis. Why does the Rambam pass this? So he doesn't cite the din. He doesn't cite anything which gives us any indication that he thinks like the Meiri that we took Ravina. So the most natural answer would probably be Midin Mitzvah Baba Veir. That's what's going unstated here. However, I think that's highly unlikely. And the reason for that is because the Rambam actually paskins like the alternative opinion brought in the Gemara and Sukkah. I didn't go over with you last time, but the Gemara actually cites that there's another daya that actually doesn't, he dissents. He doesn't read, this is on Torah number 18, he doesn't read the Mishnah as necessarily stating unequivocally that there's a psul of lieu of a guzzle for the entirety of Pesach. No, the psul is only limited to Yom Rishon. In fact, Midin Lachem. Because you need bailus, but actually the shahar yamim, there is no psul where you don't have a requirement to be lachem to be bailim over the dalminim. There's no problem. It's not that again you should do it, machachil you shouldn't. But if you were to do it, you don't need to do it again. There's no psul for such a mitzvah. This is the din. This is Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'shem Shmuel that b'yom tov sheni mitoch sheyotzi b'shal yotzi nemgazel. So the Rambam actually paskins like Shmuel called elu shemanu shem psulim nei mumin shebiarno omen nei gezel v'gneva b'yom tov rishon b'vat. The rest of the day is kosher. Ravid says, most don't agree with you because mitzvah ba'aveir. So the Rambam seems to have paskin against the application to mitzvah ba'aveir there. Now, the truth is that the Baal HaMor also did, but the Baal HaMor also makes it pretty clear that he thinks we just generally reject the principle of mitzvah ba'aveir. The Rambam clearly didn't reject entirely the principle of mitzvah ba'aveir because he cites it explicitly in one place, namely in Korban. I don't have time to get into it now. I kind of had to hurry here. Basically, Rambam cites it in Korban. As far as I know, it's the only place where he actually cites mitzvah ba'aveira, and it's quite possible that it's limited to that. I think the Rambam's, I think what emerges from the Rambam, the simplest way to explain him would be to say that basically the Rambam agreed with Tosfos that the principle, that the idea of mitzvah ba'aveira is absurd, only the mitzvos shall read sui, but the Rambam didn't buy the extension to lua. He didn't accept this concept of lua being kein korban and kein read sui. No, it's only korban. It's only korban which is defined as being meratzah. The mitzvah is to function as a meratzah, and therefore it's only korban which is subject to this issur. In as much as Kadosh Baruch Hu was on a kabel, that kind of thing as a ritzu. There is a Rambam in Hilchos Shofar where he doesn't mention mitzvah very explicitly. I'm taken to be referring to mitzvah b'aveir there. I'm not 100% convinced, but even if that were so, maybe the Rambam also applies it to shofar as ritzoy, but. There's certainly no broad principle. So I think it's unlikely that that's what the Rambam has in mind. But the question then again becomes, why is it that it's possible? So here I'll just try to give it as soon as quickly as I can. But I'd like to suggest an answer that according to which actually the Rambam does hint to the basis of the psul. And it's an explanation which is rooted in the character of mitzvah matzah, and in particular, the connection between mitzvah matzah and mitzvah sipur yitzin sisraim. We find that there is a linkage between these two mitzvahs, mitzvah sipur yitzin sisraim and mitzvah matzah, and each of them impacts the other. On the one end, we find the mitzvah sipur yitzin sisraim depends on, is bound up with the mitzvah of matzah. And we find two expressions of this. Number one, something we're all familiar with, because it's in the Haggadah, the Mechilta, and defining notes that the Torah doesn't actually tell us when this mitzvah v'gadol b'mincha is to take place, when we do it. Yachom erech chodesh, tam lomar, b'avor zeh, it's tzavka b'shashe is matzah mar munachim lefanecha. It's only when the mitzvah of achilas matzah is enforced that there's a mitzvah of sipur yitzrayim, the night of Tesvav Nisan. So we see that it's circumscribed by the mitzvah matzah. A more radical expression of this dependence, I think, is expressed in the sugya m'sachim kuf design api pshutel. Because the Pashtus, the Gemara there seems to suggest that several Amoraim held that mitzvah Sibur Tzin Sraim Bezmanazeh is only Derabanan, which is a surprising shita, the Gemara explains, because they hold Matzah Bezmanazeh Derabanan. They adopt the opinion that we're familiar with, that Matzah Bezmanazeh Derabanan. The implication is, if Matzah Bezmanazeh Derabanan, it can only be, mitzvah Sibur can only be Derabanan as well. That's where we find that mitzvah Matzah, the mitzvah Sibur Tzin Sraim is dependent on, is bound up with mitzvah Matzah. But in the other direction, we also find, I believe, that mitzvah matzah is impacted by mitzvah sipur yitzis esrayim. It depends, it actually demands sipur yitzis esrayim. The most clear expression of this is in some Rishonim, take a look at the Ramban and the Orchas Chaim, who interpreted Rabbi Gamliel's kosher law, Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu Yatzav Yei Ben Yedei Chavasan. So most interpret, the simple pshat is that this, you haven't been yotzei your chovas ve'gad levincha. You haven't been yotzei your mitzvah sipur yitzis esrayim. Both the Ramban and the Orchas Chaim say that what it means is you haven't been yotzei mitzvah matzah. If you haven't explained what it's coming to, where it's coming from, Babur Zeh. If you haven't explained the story around mitzvah matzah, then you're not yotzei fully on a full level. Your mitzvah matzah is deficient. I think the basic theme that emerges in both cases is that matzah is meant to serve as a vehicle through which we recollect the events, the story of Yetzias Yisrael. It functions as a fulcrum for that story. This impacts both the mitzvah sipur Yetzias Yisrael. It only applies when there's a mitzvah matzah. And it also impacts mitzvah matzah. Mitzvah matzah itself demands that sipur, without which lo yatzah yideh chavas. And that, I think you can argue, finds expression literarily in the designation that the Torah provides for matzah. It defines it as lechem on. And Rabbi, and there are different interpretations, but one prominent one, Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, interpret lechem on to refer to lechem she'onol dvarim harbei. Lechem that serves to stimulate aniyah, the discussion of Dvarim Harbei. Rashi explains Halal the Haggadah. We don't have time, but I would say that both of these are the basic elements of Sibur Yetzias Yisrayim. Sibur Yetzias Yisrayim entails not just the recollection of facts and events, but our reaction to it. It entails Divrei Shevach V'Hodah, thanking the Baruch Shalom for what he's done for us. That's an essential part of Mitzvah Sibur Yetzias Yisrayim. You find it in the Rambam and elsewhere. And that ultimately is the purpose of Matzah. Matzah is meant to be stimulating. Divrei Shevach Voda is meant to serve to the function of being Misaper Alav Dvarim Harbei. And here the Rama would be explaining the reason you can't use Mitzvah Matzah, you can't use Matzah Shel Tevel, Matzah Shel Iser, I apologize, I'm going to finish in a minute, Matzah Shel Iser for your Mitzvah Matzah is because in Nevarchin, in Zemavarech El Menachis, you can't use Matzah, which the Rabbeinu Shalom detests, for the same reason you're not able to make, to recite a Bracha Rishonah or Achrona on it. It also can't serve its purpose as lechem oni, as lechem shalom dvarim harbei. How can I use it as a vehicle, as a fulcrum, as a catalyst for the sipur, the shevach v'adah, when to you know, praise the Ribbono Shalom with respect to this matzah is to blaspheme it. It isn't lechem shalom dvarim harbei. It isn't capable of serving its function as lechem shalom dvarim harbei, and therefore, because of that, because matzah requires the serving, the mitzvah of sipur tzitzrayim, you aren't able to be yotzei with it. That's what the Rambam has in mind. He's not just telling you look elsewhere to see just what mitzvahs, what matzahs are excluded. He's saying the reason that you can't use matzah shel tevel, matzah shel iser, is because you can't recite a bracha on this matzah. It's the same principle that excludes it from being able to be an object of a bracha, means that it can't serve as a mitzvah, as for the mitzvah of matzah, because it can't likewise be used for the purpose of mitzvah sipur yitzin sisraim. So I think I would suggest that is where the Rambam. That's where the Rambam is going. I also, because with Yerushalmi, I think he might have interpreted Yerushalmi to basically implying all this, but Or Chazal Nemoe. So I just wanted to thank you all for listening. I just wanted to apologize for going a little over. Hopefully you can catch Mincha maybe in the library, or I don't know if you still do that, but thank you very much. And I'm happy to deal with questions. If you guys, Avram has my contact information, I'm more than happy to discuss with you.